Welcome back, listeners, to How Good Was It, where we take the movies of our past, bring them to the present, and see if they still stick. Do they still hold up in our modern times? What is up, Scott?
Hey, what's happening, June?
And what is up, Dana?
June, how the fuck did you get fired on your day off?
Ah, okay. Well, that's a little hint of what's to come for this episode. We are doing the movie Friday.
Now, your mama told me what happened to you yesterday. How the hell are you gonna get fired on your day off?
Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Bernie Mac, Johnny Witherspoon, Tiny Zeus Lister, and Mia Long, Friday.
Don't ever, 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 ever come by here, okay?
Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to give our audience a little reminder of what we do here at How Good Was It. Each episode is broken up into two halves. The first half is all about our recollection from memory of the movie. We then pause, we watch the movie, and we come back to go over how much we got wrong, how much we got right, and most importantly, does the movie still hold up? With that, let's get into this week's movie. Now, hopefully, this will be a pick by a guest host we have soon to be coming on the show. And if not, we're going to finish the damn thing anyway, because it's a damn good movie. Well, I hope it's a good movie to review.
I think we could get just about anybody to come on and talk to us about Friday, because I believe this is, I don't think, there's nobody hates Friday. Even Dana doesn't hate the movie Friday.
Let's not speak too soon, Scotty boy.
I would think there's nobody that hates this movie.
I don't know. Dana, please pick it up, man. What do you think about this movie? Because this is a movie that came out, what, in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely 90s. In the 90s, so mid-90s.
It's kind of right classic. Up your alley, hopefully.
Dude, it is a classic. It is a straight hood classic. Ice Cube, Chris Tucker. I think this is Chris Tucker's first movie, actually.
Wow.
The first time he got really noticed. If it's not his first movie, it was his first time that made him a star.
True.
Yeah, because he wasn't like, I think like the next time he was like actually a lead, he was in like some other things. But yeah, you know, like Fifth Element and some of those other movies that he
Rush Hour. Yeah, Fifth Element, he's probably not even the lead. I think Rush Hour is probably the first time he was a lead.
Wow. No, the movie with Charlie Sheen. I forgot. Mo Money. Is it Mo Money? What is it? It's a movie with him and Charlie Sheen. It's actually a pretty good movie as well. I can't think of it right now.
I don't think anybody's the lead in that, Dana. It's a movie that only you saw.
The lead is cocaine.
Cocaine was the lead, yes.
Yeah, it's definitely... No, that's actually a pretty good movie too, if I can remember the damn title. But Friday is one of those ones where it's like, talk about a quotable movie. Like, people who probably have never even seen Friday know every single quote for this movie. I mean, there's names that are just iconic within the world. When people hear Debo, especially if you love sports, like, people are, like, automatically like, oh, yeah, that's a bully. Like, you know what I mean? So it's
Do you know how many pitbull dog owners have named their dog Debo because of this
movie? Dude, like, you're making the like, you know what I mean? I mean, all I could do is think about all of the random things that me and my buddies used to say to this movie, you know, from hollering at the very pretty, attractive neighbor, hi, Miss Parker, you know.
Oh,
you
who played the neighbor? Oh, my God. How could I
forgot that she lady's was, name. But, yeah,
but I do know who, there's a lot of people, I mean, Bernie Mac, I mean, you name, like, there's a lot of people in this movie. John Witherspoon. So, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on.
And written by Ice Cube, right? I believe Ice Cube wrote this as well, which is insane that Ice Cube wrote this.
I did not know this.
Jude, you have to find the clip. Jonah Hill was talking about, like, how him and Channing Tatum was always trying to get Ice Cube to break on set when they were doing 21 Jump Street, the remake. And so, like, they're talking about, like, how, like, he was just impossible to break. But one time they see him on a plane and he's, like, laughing and just dying laughing. And they're trying to figure out what, because they've been spending all this time trying to make him break character. It turns out the motherfucker was watching Friday. And that's what was making him die in his own fucking movie.
And Ice Cube. Obviously, we love Ice Cube in the movie.
Yeah.
And you said you have a funny story about Ice Cube. We were talking. You were on a plane, a flight with him.
Yeah,
with Channing.
Channing and I were on a flight for the first movie, and I don't know if either of us have ever made Ice Cube laugh, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't really laugh.
Oh, I don't know. He's just, he's great and fun and great. He laughs like a little bit, but we were on a plane once with him, and he was cracking up. He was like dying laughing. He's watching a movie on his laptop.
And you were in front of him or behind?
Like, we were in front, and Chan and I were like, "Whoa, what, Ice Cube's laughing like really hard. Like, what do you think he's laughing at? You know, like we got to figure out what it is so we can make him laugh." Yeah. And we walked by the computer screen, like we walked by to go to the bathroom. And we looked, and he was watching Friday.
His movie?
Yeah, he was watching his own movie.
He was
dying.
Really dying laughing.
He couldn't get enough of it, man.
I'm still trying to get over that. Ice Cube actually wrote this movie. You know, okay, I get it as far as, you know, it's a slice of life for him, I guess, in a lot of ways, right? Coming from where he came from. But still, I mean, this movie, from what I recall, had a hell of a script and screenplay, man. It was a very simple premise. But it was funny as fuck. I really hope this holds up. This would be one that if it doesn't hold up, I haven't watched it since the 90s. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I've watched it more recently than the 90s. But I've watched it in the last 15, 20 years, but it's still been a while. And I'm sure this is still funny. I don't think this will ever not be funny.
Well, I hope so, man. What do you remember? Who else was in this movie? I mean, there was it was a stellar cast.
Nia Long.
Yes.
I mean, we just did Boys in the Hood, and we were confusing stuff because we're like, oh yeah, actually, I think Scott literally said in the Boys in the Hood episode, like, oh, actually, that was Friday because of all the cross. There's so many crosses.
For sure.
Yeah. You know. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of actors in it. Gosh, who was the little person who was in we'll be politically correct for once.
Oh my god.
Who played I'm gonna get you sucker. Santa. He's also I'm gonna get you sucker.
Yes.
Even in I don't know his name, but he's great in this as well.
Yeah, he does a good job on that. So yeah, though there's a lot of up and coming comedians, especially like West Coast comedians, Faison Love. There's a dude who's calling out Smokey for taking the shit. Are you taking the shit? And he's a comedian. He was in a lot of stuff in the 90s. So this is a cast where these people still were able to eat and work based off of this movie. You know, so I think if I'm not sure when the last time I've seen this movie from beginning to end, but yeah, this is one of the most quotable movies of all time for me, for sure. Yeah,
I'm sure, especially for you, Dana, in particular. And you were a wee bit Dana back then, right? You were a kid.
Oh, for sure.
Growing up in the 90s, this is one of those movies that stick with you as a kid and you kind of remember for life. And like you said, especially a lot of quotable lines from this movie, man. So, of course, I don't remember not even one, but it'll come back to me. As soon as we stop recording, that's when a flood of memories will come back. Who directed this movie?
Oh, I don't know. I figured that's something I would know, but I'm not sure.
Oh,
yes, okay. Same. I thought he actually got somebody, but the rapper who basically gets beat up in the beginning of the movie, I think what is his name? DJ Pooh. I feel like he was involved in this, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there's like a real
name. What year do we think this is? I'm going to say 95, 96.
I want to say 95. Yeah.
Couple years after. What Boys in the Hood was 91, though, right? I think Boys in the Hood was 91. So
I was still Jerry Curls. That's when Jerry Curls were cool. So, yeah, I mean, it was right. I think it was 90. So, I mean, it was basically right at the end of the 80s. And you know, like his more contemporary haircut, no Jerry curl. So, without a doubt, it's like mid 90s for sure.
But essentially playing the same character that he plays in Boys in the Hood. It's very, very similar character.
That's all he ever plays, except when he's doing like the whole parenthood type.
Yeah.
Thing, you know?
Yeah.
But he does it so well. I mean, I forgive him.
Well, this one, it's more of, you're right. It's like one, it's like, he's lazy, but he's lazy because he's a gangster and blah, blah, blah. This one's just like, he's lazy because he's just incompetent and always getting high with his buddy. Yeah. So,
his mom's yelling at him all the time. And,
get his life together. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Regina King.
Oh, okay.
She plays the sister.
Right.
I totally forgot. I was like, who plays the mom? I can't remember, but the sister's somebody. But yeah, Regina King, a young Regina King, is in this as the sister. So
I love her. Regina King was known. She was playing these kind of hood films back then when she was very young, and she pulled it off so well. And to see how far she's come, and she's like, you know, big time actress, like Oscar winning, I think, even.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, it's great to see. We remember where you came from, Regina King. Don't be fooled.
But she was in Boys in the Hood also, right? I think she was a Boys in the Hood. So yeah,
she was drinking the 40. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She has some great lines in that movie, man. The best lines in the movie was Regina King. What else do we remember about Friday?
It's just a fun movie. Like, it's just a quotable movie. You know, the big scene at the end where Ice Cube knocks out Zeus. Oh, sorry, I'm going to call him Debo. I'm going to call him Zeus. His WWF name. And
Wait a minute. You're popping some knowledge on me. This guy's a wrestler.
He was in the WWF after.
After this. Yeah. R.I.P.
He had a big Z. Z shaved in the side of his head. It was great.
Okay. That makes sense.
Crazy. I remember seeing him in Batman. I mean, just in the newer Batmans with the Christian Bale, the Joker one, I want to say. He plays an inmate in that who doesn't press the bomb to blow up. I was just like, that's Debo, bitch.
he worked pretty steadily in the 90s, very true, in the early 2000s. Yeah, he was in a lot of stuff.
Then
Michael Clark Duncan and Ving Rhames came along and took all his parts, all the big bald black guy parts, and he's like, damn it.
There's only so much room for big burly black men in Hollywood, apparently.
This is exciting though. It's another very California movie, but like more smiles and less tears and bloodshed compared to Boys in the Hood.
I do recall it was a welcome change because back then if you had any movies dealing with black or minority people, I use that term very loosely, but it was usually some depressing shit with messages, mm-hmm. and this kind of broke that mold. I mean, there were a few comedies based on the same kind of, you know, setting, but this was like the ultimate one. This was the one that had everybody talking, everybody quoting lines, and like I said, people still naming their dogs Debo to this day because of this movie. So I'm excited to watch it, man. Anything else you guys want to go over as far as Friday?
No, I'm excited to watch this movie. This is one that Mary will actually watch with me. So I'm excited. Oh, she loves this movie.
Let's go. Same thing with Kim, actually. So.
Yeah. So. I told you, everybody loves this movie. Nobody does not love this movie. This movie is hilarious.
Oh, no, we're hyping it up, hopefully not to be damned.
No, no doubt in my mind.
Impossible, yeah.
I got the feeling.
I bet you Gen Z and Gen Alpha will not like this movie, but for X and millennials, no. They're gonna love this movie.
It's a part of our freaking, you know, vernacular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, it's total pop culture for us with this movie. Let's go watch this. I think it's gonna be a good time. I hope. As I said before, we may have a guest for this episode. We may not.
We'll see if
she pops up. But hopefully she does, because I think she will. And I'm just giving Dana a warning. This will be a lot of fun discussing this movie with this particular person.
Yeah.
Because she is perfect to discuss this movie with. She is perfection. This is the right movie for the right guest. Hopefully it happens.
I'm trying to prepare myself.
If not, hey, we're gonna watch it anyway, and we're gonna critique it as we.
Yeah, we can always get it. If she can't come on, we'll get Joe AP on. You know, I'm sure he loves this movie too.
Because, you know, so just to give any listeners, if they don't know who's here, it's been a while. You know,
it's been a while. Joe AP.
We mentioned Joe AP, crazy. And he has become quite the mystery man since his departure from the podcast, which was on very, very amicable. I want to ensure the listeners there was no bad blood. Joe AP is still, as far as we're concerned, a host on this show, even though he never shows up, but we'd like him to. So, Joe AP, if you still listen to the podcast, which you better be, man. But if you are, man, get your ass over here. Review some damn movies with us. Yeah. You could even pick them. And I'll keep Scott away from you and his fucking list.
He won't even touch you. I'll tell him what to pick. It's fine.
As long as
it's over the top, it is. Over the top part two.
I'm willing. Hey, listen, if that's what it takes, I will do over the top again.
Yeah.
I would go that far. That being said, let's bring this to a close. Stay tuned for the second half to our retro review of Friday. Should be a lot of fun. Please follow, like, subscribe, and damn it, rate us finally. Don't just listen to the audio podcast. Rate. Go ahead. Scott is holding up. You can't see it. He's holding up all five fingers, telling you to rate this damn podcast. And if you're emboldened to, do it with a 5-star, man. It's not going to hurt you. What's it going to do? What's the worst that can happen? Tell your friends about how good was it. Catch our video clips on YouTube. Each episode has a video promo. If you want to, it's one thing listening to us, it's another thing seeing us in action. And especially, you'll have so much fun watching Dana shit all over Scott and I's face. That, just for that alone. So make sure you tune in. And that's about it, man. Let's watch Friday. Let's say bye, guys.
See ya.
Good, Scott. See ya. It's bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Sit tight. We'll be right back with How Good Was It?
Look for new episodes of How Good Was It every Tuesday on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Overcast, and YouTube. Make sure to follow, to like, and subscribe.
You can follow us on Instagram and Letterboxd at How Good Was It Pod, Facebook and YouTube at How Good Was It, Twitter at HGWIPOD. Please like and subscribe.
So, welcome back, listeners, to How Good Was It? Where we review the movies of our past so we could bring them back to the modern age and make a lot of fun of them. No, that's not true. We do it to see if they still hold up. Do we still feel the same way about these movies as we did when we were young tots running around this earth? And in continuing our month or weeks, I have no idea what we're doing here anymore. But we have another special guest. And this was a real special guest, an old friend from way back, from the ghettos of Florida. Well, maybe not for Scott.
Suburbs of Florida.
Yeah.
Hello, Melissa. What's up, Melissa? Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hi, hey, Miss Parker.
Now, let me introduce my fellow two numbskulls, because I seem to be forgetting that as of late. Mm. What's up, Scott? How you doing?
Hey, welcome back, Jim.
And what's up, Dana?
Yay, yay. What's up, Jim?
See, Dana, I was after Friday. This okay, listeners, this is our retro review of the movie Friday. Okay? So, given that, I would have thought, because Dana always has a very special hello pertaining to whatever movie that we're reviewing. And this was very low-key this week, Dana.
That's Ice Cube right there.
All I had was the Miss Parker. Yeah, all I had was the Miss Parker thing. Once I had the Miss Parker, it just totally went downhill from there. So that's all I had for you, Gene.
It's okay, Dana. It's okay. I forgive you this time. Don't let it happen again, please. So Melissa's here. This is a Melissa pick, okay, which does not surprise me. Melissa does have a history of parlaying. And if you don't know what that means, then you look it up in your ghetto Britannica. Man, let's go. We have watched this movie. In the first half, we discussed what we did remember and what we didn't. So let's go over that. Let's see what this is about. Do we start with Scott's figures? Do you want to just jump in? Or do we want to go into any observations first?
Let's get the facts and figures out of the way. And then we can move on with this.
Scott
boring shit.
I have my notes ready, okay?
We got to do the boring shit. Come on.
Grandpa's ready to read his notes, all right?
Do it up, Scott. Give us the facts and figures on the movie Friday, baby. Go.
Scott knows his shit.
I don't think this was in debate. I'm pretty sure we knew this movie was from 1995. It was made for $3.5 million, grossed a whopping $28 million. So I would say it's a pretty good hit, you know, for that. Made for nothing, it did quite well. Directed by F. Gary Gray, who has done a ton of movies. You know, the guy started out as a hip hop director, directed tons of videos. Yeah, did this, parlayed it. He's done so much. He did he did Set It Off, he did the critically acclaimed, but you know, he's kind of a director for hire. He's always done a good, solid job. This movie was shot in South Central and actually in the neighborhood he grew up in. One of the scenes, the flashback scene where the first time you see Debo, that's his childhood house it's in front of. And that scene also is the first scene ever of Michael Clark Duncan in a movie. You know, the three guys playing craps, one of them was Michael Clark Duncan. Uncredited at the time. I didn't even
notice that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was one of the guys. No lines and nothing. But he was in this movie as well.
No idea.
Also, Megan Good's first movie. She was one of the kids.
I did see that.
In the front of the ice cream truck that that Smokey kind of pushes out of the way to talk to Big Perm. Yeah.
She's that girl that goes, I hate you. Is that her?
Yes. With the blue hat. Yes. Yeah. That's totally her. Yeah. Yes.
The clothes that Ice Cube's wearing at the beginning and the end of this movie is the same clothes he's wearing at the beginning of Boys in the Hood. He wore the exact same outfit. And also his son wore the same outfit in Straight Outta Compton too. So
That family doesn't let anything go to waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's about it. I mean, this is one of the most quotable movies of all time. I think we're going to get into these quotes.
Melissa, why the fuck did you pick Friday? It's a stupid question among us. But let the world know, what made you gravitate towards this movie?
Yeah, well, this is one of my favorite movies ever. I was actually in high school when it came out, and then it just had a long run, like from high school. Then I went to Florida State University, and everybody thought they were Smokey. pretending to smoke angel dust, and you know, and my apartment was actually not by Florida State, it was by FAM. So all of my neighbors were
FAMU.
Yeah, they were all like FAMU football players. So we would get together and watch the movie, and it's just iconic. You know, there's so, like you said, so many quotable quotes, and so much of pop culture still today is still coming from this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very true.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm actually glad that you brought this movie to us. I think we have discussed it. I mean, there's a list of movies that have been mentioned among the many episodes of this podcast that we just, for some reason, don't get around to. And I'm glad we finally got around to this one, because I think it's a perennial favorite. But man, what say you guys? Should we just get into the plot and just attack?
not a lot of plot to it, but you know, it is mostly just quotes and gags, but you know, it is.
And that's kind of my thing. I was actually curious. I was like, before this movie, did you guys have a favorite quote? After rewatching it, do you guys have a new favorite quote, or is it still the same? You guys, the same gems. So I was curious about that.
I had forgotten a lot of this. I had forgotten a lot of this, and how great the script of this movie was and still is. It still holds up. Chris Tucker was a fucking tour de force.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. He was on fire. This was his early days, and every scene that he was in had something to laugh at.
And ad-libbed a lot of his lines. So what they were saying in the notes was a lot of the movie was ad-libbed, but Chris Tucker ad-libbed the majority of his lines. And yeah, where he comes up with this shit. And even the Big Perm thing, that was actually a mistake. He didn't mean to say Big Perm. He was supposed to say Big Worm. And he did say, and they just kept it. They're like, "Oh, we like it. We'll just keep it."
It's perfect. It works. It works perfectly. Man, let's get into the plot. I mean, as we mentioned, Ice Cube plays one of the leading roles, along with Chris Tucker. Ice Cube plays a character named Craig Jones, and Craig Jones just lost his job the day before. And
Craig had a last name.
I didn't according know to IMDb. You,
wow,
Dana, you know. Okay. Me well.
Sorry, I forgot. We do homework except for me.
I ain't doing no homework. I'm cheating like a motherfucker right now. I got IMDb open right in front of me. I would not have known his name was Craig Jones otherwise. Believe me. But So Craig Jones, we learned, happened to have just gotten fired the day before on his day off. Nonetheless,
you can get fired in your day off.
Yes, that was a running joke throughout this film. But so he has nothing to do but hang out with his friend, who is played by Chris Tucker. As Melissa mentioned before, his name is Smokey. That's all we know him by, is Smokey. And that's all we need to know him by, because...
But I mean, it starts obviously with his family. And I think we talked about it in part one about people in his family, of just all the actors that are in it.
Yeah.
Did we mention John Witherspoon? Maybe
probably
we did,
not,
maybe
but yeah, no, we haven't. I mean, other than Chris Tucker, he's the next one that steals this movie, I think, is John Witherspoon as well.
Every time I come in the kitchen,
You in the kitchen. In the goddamn refrigerator. Eating up all the food. All the chicken. All the pig feet. You ate my dinner. My mashed potatoes. They had a good old gravy I like, and them biscuits I can sop that gravy in. You ate all it up. You drink up all the milk. Don't care what kind of milk it is. You don't care. 2%, 3% buttermilk, patent milk. Pull a cow in a patent milk can. I bet you eat that too. What's wrong with you? I'm hiding my grapes. You gonna eat up all my grapes. Anna. Now, when I went to bed last night, didn't I tell you to take out the trash?
Yeah.
So why didn't you do it?
I fell asleep.
I wish you were sleeping right now. I'll knock you upside your head with a left hook, make your ass wake up and take out that damn trash.
Like, I love how they try to make a real family dynamic, but it's like, it's all the shit that you remember, especially if you're like poor, like growing up, like waking up in the morning, getting a big ass bowl of cereal, not having enough milk, saying fuck that. And then somebody from somewhere is like, man, you better put some water on that shit and eat it. Like, that is like such a iconic old school, just, you know, growing around that way. But yes. I mean, it basically starts with, you know, Craig doesn't have a job. His family's trying to encourage him that he needs a job. He needs a trade in different ways with all these different quotes just right off the bat. I think my very first quote that I thought about was John Witherspoon tells Ice Cube to come to the bathroom, and obviously he's like covering his nose, and he's like, oh man, he's in the bathroom here. He's like, man, I smelled your shit for 22 years. You can't smell me. I was just like, yeah, no, I probably can relate to that. I think everybody can relate to that. Oh, but just, you know, it just starts off with just, hey, you need to get a job. You know, you can't be wasting your life away. You got to get a job. I mean, that is pretty much the premise with all the different bantering as we kind of just get introduced to everybody. Regina King, obviously, just a very fast snippet. What is the mom's name? What is that actress's name, Mr. IMDb?
Vicklin.
She's
Reynolds?
Been in so many things.
No,
I remember from the Wayans Brothers.
Or Vicki Lynn Reynolds,
well.
Maybe.
No, it was is Anna Marie Horford.
I was close.
Yeah, Anna Marie Horford. Yeah, she's been a TV actor mostly. Yeah,
yeah. Was she's been like the Wayans Brothers.
Matters, mom. Was she?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, she's not Black Aunt Viv.
She was in Amen. Remember the Sherman Hemsley show Amen? She was on that.
Yes. Okay.
There we go.
Wow.
But go ahead.
I also like the beginning of the movie when they set up that setting where they just, you know, that family, like mm-hmm. they pan in, the sister's like sleeping upright.
Yeah, she just want to mess up her hair.
They go into the bedroom and the dad's like dreaming about dogs and the mom's like hitting, you know. They all still sleep with their shoes on. Have that old ass like alarm clock that flicks those numbers. It's just, you all know that person. You've been over their house, you know?
For sure. Now, listen, I had a sister who used to do shit like that. Would sleep. Yeah.
Ruin that hair, bro. Yeah.
So this is a true happening within ghettos all over America. So, but please, Dana, continue.
The decor, like, that's a good call. Like, that decor was just like so nostalgic. Just the shit, terrible carpet. But yeah, I mean, I think
sorry, you want to say something?
No, just the decor. Also, remember when Craig is like super fucked up and he sees those stupid dogs? Like those poor dogs?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Everyone, for sure.
That is a fact. Like, it just, all that shit was all like, everybody knows this house. Everybody has seen this house. Everybody's been in this house. All that shit is just so iconic every time I think about it. But I think we could basically fast forward to just, you know, everybody's going to work. They're going their separate ways. And now we finally meet up with Smokey. And, you know, Smokey is just talking about, like, the hood happening. And we're actually also witnessing the hood happening. And that's when we kind of meet the most iconic person, Debo. They talk about an old story about Debo going up and taking somebody's bike, which that's actually the other writer. So it was Ice Cube and DJ Pooh. DJ Pooh's the dude who gets punched in the face.
Yeah.
Who also, so that's DJ Pooh. Like, he
did not know this.
He's not really known for a lot of West Coast stuff, but he did this and then he did Car Wash. So, like, pretty much two kind of hood movies. That's what TJ Pooh's known for. He's not known for anything else.
Gee, I wonder where you grew up.
Yeah.
Pop's tripping, man. You want me to ask for my bike back? You know I wouldn't trip.
What bike?
The beach cruiser. The one I let you use a couple of weeks ago. The one I've been asking you about.
Oh, that bike. Hey, no, you wanted it back, homie.
It's right here. Follow me, homie.
Yeah, it's just like it's both ours. We just keep it down at my house.
Cool.
Oh, yeah!
That's my bike, Pop!
Got it! You got knocked the fuck out!
So, and is there anything notable in that flashback?
Well, that's the one Michael Clark Duncan is. He's,
so he was there?
He's one of the guys.
It's him, Ezel, Chris Tucker.
Yeah. He was the one that his back was to the street. You see his face really quick, and then that's about it. Yeah, I think he laughs when DJ Pooh gets knocked out. Yeah, that's about it.
Who's the father? That comedian. Cannot think of that comedian.
The father, the guy who played his father, was waiting in the car. Was a comedian as well, wasn't he? He looked quite
familiar. He was a lot of stuff, but yeah, he's an old school comedian. He used to always do a bit about his red hair and freckles. Not really a lot of black guys with red hair and freckles, but when he's just like, yeah, we gotta get the fuck out of here after he gets knocked out, he's just like, yeah, what bike? Like, let's go. We gotta get the fuck out of here. You know, like that part was just great.
So what now that basically they're pretty much a lot of this movie is them sitting on the porch reacting to what's going on in the neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. This is when you see Miss Parker, which is my favorite line. That's the one I think I quote the most, is the damn Miss
really?
Parker.
Okay.
Yeah, that's always been my favorite line from Friday. You know, she just don't know. You know, I get it, Miss Parker. I get it. That has always been my favorite line.
Damn! Miss Parker finer than a motherfucker. Damn. I knocked the dust off that pussy.
Hey. You just knocked me off my feet.
Hi, Miss Parker.
Hi, boy.
Good. We gonna let me fuck, Miss Parker.
What'd you say, honey?
Girl, huh? So nothing.
Morning. I could even keep a straight face. Hey.
Miss Parker just don't know.
So that's always been my favorite line from Friday. You know, she just don't know. You know, I get it, Miss Parker. I get it. That has always been my favorite line.
At this point, have we met Nia Long's character yet? I don't think so.
Probably. I mean, she walks goes by for to a come jog. See the sister.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, she's jogging.
She does that jogging scene. Yeah, yeah. But no, I don't think we've seen her yet. But she eventually is like during these hood happenings. She eventually comes up and is like just going for a jog, and you know, his mouth is wide open. Because I think even before that, the character that plays his girlfriend, I think we meet her first, or at least have like a pan to her.
By her calling, calling on the phone.
Yeah, her calling, yeah. Exactly. So I think we actually see the girlfriend, quote unquote, first before we see Nia Long, which that's actually a very funny scene in the sense of she's calling him out, thinking that he's always cheating. And something that's just been brought to my attention, maybe the last 5 years, she has a dude in the bed with him.
Yep.
I never even knew that.
Yeah, like, his back is to her. But yeah, there's a guy in bed with her. Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah. I've never noticed that.
I never noticed that either. I just always look at her like nails and her braids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With her nails, I'm always like, how does she do anything with those nails?
That the eternal question. But
happenings are we at?
Well, Bernie Mac coming by the great Bernie Mac shows up as the preacher who's coming by, and he sees Miss Parker. He first tries to get weed from Smokey, and then when they he goes to save Miss Parker, goes across the street to her.
Miss Parker.
I forgot that Miss Parker was married to, of all people, Tony Cox. And when I saw him run out the house, I was like, holy shit, it's like my brother. It's like my lost long dwarf brother. I love it, man. Tony Cox, God bless him. He was in so many movies, but it was fun to see him in this one. So after we're introduced to Miss Parker, which is one of the best scenes of the movie, I'm sure, for most guys. But let's move on from there. What happens?
Well, you eventually Debo breaks into the house with Smokey to steal $200 from him. You know, you see that neighbor. Who else is there? You get the Felicia who's walking through the neighborhood as well.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I gotta say it though. You know, I was like, for a crackhead, she's kind of cute.
Oh, interesting.
Look at you. So June has a type. I like it. Yeah, go ahead, Melissa.
I mean, she's Nia Long's sister.
Yeah.
When I would do cafeteria duty, those like 10-year-olds are like, bye, Felicia. Like, bitch, your parents weren't even born when this came out. True. Yeah. But it's still, people always say that all the time. Like kids always say that.
Yeah, for sure.
Not realizing where it comes from, obviously.
No,
or maybe they do,
no,
which is kind of scary.
Yeah, no clue of the origin. it's so iconic. It held on for so long.
Basically like a comedy version of Boys in the Hood in a lot of ways. You know, it's absolutely. Like you see people living the same kind of lifestyle. But it's like a different take on it. It's like minus all the drama.
Well, there is a drive-by in this movie, but not so successful.
The worst crime is a little kid knocking down some trash cans. Right?
That's another funny bit in this movie. Always trying to catch that kid.
And they do. Later eventually they do catch up with them. And yes, well, that's a scene unto itself. But where are we at with this movie?
They go to the store.
And we meet the other crackhead, Ezekiel. My neck and my back.
Yeah, but Scott, do you remember the owner of the store?
Yeah. the black-owned store, yeah, and the Chinese guy.
My uncle comes like jumping up out of the counter and it's like beaming, you know?
$20.
Man, get your punk ass up. It ain't even wet over here.
Hey, well, look here, man. Just give me $10 and I won't say nothing.
Get out.
$2.50 in a jawbreaker.
Get out.
$1 in some envelope.
The black-owned store, yeah, and the Chinese guy.
Yeah, my uncle comes, like, jumping up out of the counter and it's, like, beaming, you know?
Well, actually, I forgot. That's where we see the director. Like, he plays the worker in the store who's like mopping up. Where he's just like, it's not even wet over there. Like, yeah, that's actually the director. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Cool.
Like that, it's so fast. It's just such a fast scene of just, you know, he just wants a 40. Of course, he wants a hit and run, you know, just all these random things all happening at once. But yeah, just. I honestly forgot about that black owned part. I've seen this movie 1,000 times and I totally forgot about it. That just doesn't even cross my mind.
What the Asian remembered. So
yeah, of course.
Exactly. And that's why you chose this movie. I knew it.
Just for that 35 seconds of him.
Yes. Representing.
Yeah. But, I think also this time, you know, there's a reoccurring bit. Every time Debo shows up, they gotta hide everything. They take the watch off, the chains off, make sure they hide all the stuff so he doesn't shake them down, because he'll literally walk over and pat them down, especially Smokey, to see what he can take off of them.
I guess that's where the plot of this movie actually begins, if you want to call it a plot.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically Smokey ends up. So, I don't want to call him a weed dealer because he didn't do any dealing as far as I saw during the entirety of
the
movie.
A weed connoisseur.
Yes, he sure is. And he's smoking all his supply, or not his supply, but his boss's supply.
Big worm.
Worm guy, big worm.
He drives ice cream truck.
Yeah.
He's on Love, baby.
And yes. He does have a perm, a big ass perm. Anywho, yeah, that's where the plot of this movie comes in. Basically, he wants his money, whatever he sold, and he wants
$200.
Yeah, by 10 o'clock that evening, right? I think that was the deadline.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the movie is basically Craig and Smokey trying to come up with $200 to get this man or prevent this man from killing them. So this drive-by, right? We mentioned the drive-by earlier, right? So, because I forgot about the drive-by.
And I did too.
I was like, shit, for $200, that seems a lot. They wasted more in ammo and gas than I was like, that's a bit of overkill for $200. But hey, what do I know? I'm not a
weed dealer. The principalities, June. It's about the principalities.
Yeah. I guess, if you say so. Where should we go? Any scenes you guys want to jump into?
Yeah, the two Mexican dudes.
Oh, that's my Mexican. God. Thank you, Melissa.
Victor, yeah. Why do you hate Hector so much?
Hector. Yeah.
Why do you hate Hector so much, Melissa?
Yeah. It's funny. When he's smoking that angel dust, and then he goes in the chicken coop.
What I love is he's telling the story and you hear him say that his mom had to get him.
Yeah. And he's just twitching all the time because he hasn't been
right. This is true. Even before this, there are moments when Chris Tucker and he's just like twitching and you're like, why is he twitching? What's going on with him? And he finally tells this story. You're like, oh shit. Like he accidentally smokes angel dust with these two Mexican guys. I'm not being racist. That's what happened in the movie. And it's one of the funniest scenes. There are a lot of scenes in this movie that I've actually lived through. Not that angel dust one, but I've seen a lot of this stuff in this movie actually happen to people in my life. Far from reality, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. A much funnier take on on reality, but yeah, pretty realistic nonetheless. Man, we're almost to the end of this movie, I guess, plot-wise, right?
It's just nothing but just... It's a stand-up comedy routine. That's what this movie is. I mean, like, what? He, Nia Long, hey, you got a friend? Let me talk to your friend. She cute? She got a booty. You know what I mean? But like Janet Jackson. Rhythm Nation. See, come around eight. Like, I mean, that's just randomly in there. And that whole scene is just so great when he finally meets her. It's just like... Just absolutely surprised. Hey, don't call me. Don't call. If you call me, I won't speak to you. So I will call you. I'll call you.
And but she takes off her hat. That. She takes off my her gosh. Hat.
The hair with
when
it.
When we go to eat,
girl, I know you're hungry. That's another line that I've said many.
I just ate an hour ago.
We could do this whole episode just reciting quotes from this.
Just straight quotes.
It's the gift that keeps on giving for sure.
I mean, how about, you know, the famous quote also in this that everyone does is a pop, pop, give.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, you're fucking up the rotation. I mean, come on, that's it.
I've used that even before watching this movie. Okay, this is a very true happenings, man. It's pop, pop, give.
No, I mean, I think for a young lad as myself, this is my first time even seeing stuff like that. So, I mean, I remember just dying about that. So we used to do that over just like dumb shit, like, you know, like Kool-Aid or candy, just, you know, just dumb stuff that since we did not have the marijuana on military bases at the time where I was at. I'm sure, it's everywhere now, but still that whole weed culture part of it just made it that much more funnier, made it more just laughable. And I mean, what are other big weed movies like Half Baked? I mean, I can't even really think of Weeds from the Earth, and God would have put something on earth to hurt us, you know, like just all those weed scenes were just so fantastic. So,
And that this movie definitely was a pioneer of all of those weed movies. Cause
for sure.
Remember, it was still kind of underground, like in 1995, not everybody was admitting that they were smoking weed.
Yeah,
but then if you did smoke and then you related to everything that was on there, like who didn't feel like Craig the first time they smoked? You know?
This is very true.
Like I feel my heartbeat. They should call it Alco, not Endo.
Oh man. Classic.
Yeah, I agree.
Classic. Man, we could take it to the ending pretty much. I mean, there's not, yeah. I mean,
do you want to get to the fight where basically first they have the gunshots where they survived? Basically,
doesn't lead to anything, basically just leads to the fight for Debo.
I mean, I think the gunshot part literally, I love how they flash back to something that just happened 15 minutes beforehand. It's like, hey, you have a gun. Does that gun make you feel like a man? I'm a man without one. And like 15 minutes later, it's like, you know, we have a gun scene. So
okay, yeah, cool. And for sure, Craig was firing the gun in that scene too. So yeah, it's he did use the gun. He may not use it in the fight at the end, but he did use the gun still.
Now, of course, Melissa, a while back we did a retro review on Boys in the Hood, right? And like I said, there's a lot of similarities, more than I thought. Right, very, very similar scenery and situations, but of a different take. One of the things that we couldn't get over as far as Boys in the Hood is Lawrence Fishburne's character, right? He was father to Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character in the movie. And there was that scene with the gun where he's like, oh, you a man now, right? You a man. And that's all that kept going through my head during this scene. I expected Lawrence Fishburne to walk in at any given moment and be like, oh, you think you're a man now, right? It just made the scene that much funnier. And I was like, I would rather have John Witherspoon as my dad, hands down, over what was Lawrence Fishburne's character's name? Oh. It was some like
Furious,
rapper.
Furious Styles.
Furious Styles.
Rap name that wasn't a rapper. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give me Mr. Jones any day, man. Seriously. Like, but anyway, just wanted to point that similarity out.
Because you win some and you lose some, June. But you live to fight another day.
So after this drive-by fails, I don't know how it failed, because this drive-by is a guy full of
Uzis,
a van full of guys. They had Uzis. Exactly. They had Uzis. And all Chris Tucker and Ice Cube had was like a gun, like a handgun. Yeah. But they got away and the drive-by was a big fail. But in the meantime, we get that last scene with Debo. This leads up to this big fight where apparently Debo was doing bed buddies with Felicia,
of all people. And punched her.
And unfortunately, would abuse her physically. And Felicia, who happens to be Nia Long's character's sister, Nia Long comes out to confront Debo in front of the whole neighborhood. Everybody's out to see this. And Debo puts his hand on. Easier said than done. I mean, he wasn't the one facing a fucking 10-foot tall guy with a crazy eye or whatever. But anyway, so eventually Ice Cube, of course, wins. He's going to be the hero of the movie. Nia Long is even that much more attracted to him and says, meet me at 8:30 so I can bang your brains out tomorrow. And that's about it. That's about the end of Friday. Again, not much of a plot. Absolutely didn't need much of a plot.
It's not about plot.
This movie was all about who was in it and where this review is going on my end. But are we going to get into how good was it now, or do you want to get into
We can talk a little more about it. You know, I think Chris Tucker is just amazing in this movie, right? I mean, just so funny. And it's a shame that he's done so little in his career. I mean, he did from like 2000, I think 1998 to 2009, all he did was the three Rush Hour films. And since 2009, he's only done like two or three movies after that too. You know, in the mid 90s, he had a run where he did this, he did Fifth Element, he did Dead Presidents. Yeah. He had like, you know, four or five movies. Yeah. Where he, you know, right into that. And I don't know if he went crazy or what happened with him, but he, it's a shame because, man, he just lights up the screen. And Rush Hour, the same thing. I mean, he kills it in Rush Hour as well. But yeah, it's interesting. This is his first big break and he just shines in this movie.
He made it look easy too. He's one of those comedic talents, such as Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, that just, you put them on the screen and you just let them go. You don't tell them, you give them the loosest script possible, the fewest lines possible, and just let them do what they do best. And they just run with it and go crazy. And it's usually gold. And it's very much the case for this movie, especially being, I think this was his first big role.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, he had been in couple of movies before this, a House Party 3 and something else. Nothing big.
So nothing good, basically.
Well, I would have known. I didn't get up to House Party 3. I barely got past the first
Yeah,
one.
I think I only did the first two.
So, how good was it?
Man, let's get into this. How good was it? Because I think we all have things to say about this movie. Now, Melissa, I didn't warn you before, but as is customary with our guests, you will be the first to give your critique on this movie. Don't hold back. Say what you feel. Anyone who knows Melissa knows that she's going to keep it real. So please, grace us with your critique on Friday. Go, Melissa.
Very good. I mean, you could walk out in a flannel and
Super West
jeans and
Coast.
Converses and still, you know, it was still be drip today or whatever like Gen Z says, you know.
I
And
didn't even know that. What are you talking about? I have no
Wow.
I think I see it on shirts at
Yeah,
Burlington,
no.
so I think it means it looks good. So
Spunky.
and there was a theme and a moral to this movie.
Oh, please.
Yeah, it was everything can be solved by beating the shit out of somebody,
Yeah.
right? I
Pretty
mean,
much.
yeah, you know, that's the way
Basically.
it is in the hood. So how good would I can still watch it a few times a year and laugh because there's
Yeah.
always something little that I see, like what, you know, like little scenes. Like I'm gonna go back and watch the girlfriend sleeping with another dude
Yeah.
because I didn't
Yeah.
see that all the times I've seen it.
I'm gonna have to do the research on that myself.
Yeah.
I hear, I
And
get it.
then, you know, and it was fun because I got to watch it with my older daughter who's 19, and they call her Craig at the place that she works at. She's like, why do they call me Craig? We still really don't know why they call her Craig, but now
Now,
she's seen the whole movie.
what
So,
was her take on the movie? Did she enjoy the movie? Because she
that's so funny.
yeah, because she's heard all of those lines before. She all the characters. I mean, it goes viral on TikTok. It's always on something, like a
Yeah.
part of it. I have the soundtrack on Spotify. She has it on, you know. So it's all just kind of recycling. But this is most definitely the precursor to all of those Get High and Half Baked and all those 12 movies that met the man and that were really bad. You know, Pineapple Express, even all the movies the white boys did, you know, like what's the one where they're in Vegas? Whatever.
Was it
We
the
can review that
hangover?
next
The
quarter.
hangover.
Yes.
The hangover.
Nice.
I got your back,
Where,
girl. I got your back.
yeah. Which is
Harold and
like,
yeah, that's a good
it's
one.
just it's just events that happen when you get high. It's just nothing else. It's an adventure in itself.
That's
So
true. Still holds up
that's my
for you then.
review.
Yeah. How good?
How good
How good
was it,
was
Melissa?
It's
it? Is it out
basically.
of like five
Oh,
stars
no.
or
I think most
you
time
could
we'd be
express
like,
it
it's
any way
damn
you want.
good. How good was it? It's damn good. How good was it? It was the perfect film or something like that.
Or like Dana would
Not
say, it's shit.
a big fucking fail. But no, it wasn't that.
it's above average.
Above
Just
average, that's it.
above average. It's not, I mean, there's no plot. After we've talked
That's
about
true.
all of that,
That's
there's
true.
no
Yeah.
plot. There's characters. I mean, do the characters, you know, change at
Develop,
all? Yeah,
grow? No, not really.
No, there's not
no
really any
Did come
significant
on.
growth.
Yeah, I mean, even Smokey, he says he's going to rehab. He's not going to rehab,
Yeah,
you
well.
know? I mean, it's just one of those iconic movies that you get fucked up and you watch and you're like, that was hilarious. And then
Yeah.
you watch the next thing that's on Amazon Prime.
Above
So yeah, above average. It's
average.
funny.
Nice. All right.
Yeah,
Works for
yeah. I
me. Works
mean,
for me.
definitely funnier, I think, for people our age versus
Probably.
like my 19-year-old got most of it, but some of it she's like, that's stupid. She didn't, you know, she didn't grow up in the 90s and she didn't grow up in the hood. So a lot of it she can't relate to, you know.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. Okay. It's nice. We rarely get the young'un's perspective on any of these episodes. So very
You know,
interesting.
kids, I'm the youngin', and
Yeah,
that's
I
bad.
know.
I got fucking white hairs.
Yeah,
Yeah, but they don't outnumber your black ones like mine. So,
it is. There it is.
well, Dana, you know what time it is, bro.
That's
It's on you,
round
son.
two.
It's on
No,
you.
I this is actually now I get how Scott feels with take before you say it. Like I think
Ah,
Mel Melissa killed it because I think I had a lot of those same points. The first thing I thought about this movie after watching it was Anchorman. And I know that's a weird tangent, but it's when I watched Anchorman, I didn't really like Anchorman, but then I remembered every single quote and I was just like, oh, I could quote this all day long. And, you know, I remember being younger, just really liking this and just being in the moment and saying it. Now that I'm older, you know, it's like, you know what, this wasn't like some amazing movie or some, you know, great plot or anything like that. But can I quote this movie from beginning to end? Absolutely. And I think that's almost just as good as having like an Oscar nominated movie. I don't know. I just really, really liked it as far as just the replayability to anything like this. I mean, so many people, I mean, to Melissa's point, wait to look at some of these other actors to see what did they do. You know, the character who played Felicia, I'm actually curious, what did she do after this? I did look at Mrs. Parker while I was watching it because I was just like, this lady had to be in something else. Like, but she pretty much was just in this. Yeah, I think really? She was like a Miss California. She was like some type of like Miss, you know, USA.
Ice Cube had seen that. Like he was like, oh man, she's hot. You know, hot older lady pretty much is what. Yeah, you're right. It was some kind of beauty pageant thing.
Yeah. I mean, people have parlayed less talent into more. I mean, yeah. I.e. Kim Kardashian, you know, like no offense, Kim Kardashian, subscribe to us. But without a doubt, you know, like a lot of these people, you know, they truly, this was the beginning of a good career, you know, beyond just Chris Tucker. Because I agree to your point, Scott, like Chris Tucker is kind of the last, kind of like the last thought of this of like, you know, this guy could have been a bigger superstar if he would have just stayed with that and kept that trajectory. I think part of why he didn't, because he didn't want to be typecast. And, you know, I think there was all types of stuff that you heard about, like religion or whatever, but he kind of just wanted to move some things along and not really just stay within that same bubble. But I mean, almost every other person, I mean, Tony Cox, Bad Santa, Bernie Mac, you know, he a king of comedy after this, after a while. You know, John Witherspoon, Pops, that's all I remember him is Pops and the Wayans brothers. I mean, every person had a really, really good start to this and really came to something. So I'm now more curious of that. But, you know, how good was it? Yeah, I mean, this is, I kind of agree with Melissa. I mean, it's above average. Like, I think it's good. It's so really, really good. And I would just, I'd watch it again. If it's on again, I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to look for a very good movie is what I would say for this.
Okay.
What about you, Gene?
Shit. Well, here we go. when I first saw this movie as a young man, and I was a young man, I wasn't a teenager. By then I was
a young lad.
In my 20s or whatever. And this was in my heyday of being pot-fueled musician / artist / struggling everything, right? I was in my tiny apartment in Harlem, like I've said before. And that's all I did. I got high all day and created. Not much different than now, actually. Not much has changed. No, that's not true. I swear to God, that's not true.
That's a good life.
Not at this age. But this movie came out at the perfect time for me. You know, I remember rewatching this with my friends and just laughing at the same shit over and over again. And it's the same thing now. I haven't watched this movie probably since the early thousands. And I forgot how damn funny it was. You know, this movie didn't need much else other than what it had and who it had. Chris Tucker, Ice Cube. You know, Chris Tucker on his own, but then you had Witherspoon, you had, I mean, it just had enough of everything to keep you laughing, to keep you interested. And as Melissa said earlier, you know, this was during the time when it was very fashionable, very trendy to do movies with any relation to the hood, as we call it, right? And so this was one of those movies, and it started a trend of movies after. You got, you know, it made it safe to be a pothead, right? It made it acceptable within pop culture to be a stoner. it still holds up. It still does the same level of entertainment. You know, it's I haven't laughed this hard in a while. I forgot how funny this movie is. It a great movie? No, it's actually, when you come to think of it, as far as plot wise and whatever, it's pretty fucking terrible. It's pretty stupid, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm able to take this movie a lot more seriously than Boys in the Hood. Because there were no pretensions with Boys in the Hood, and I keep comparing it because it's the same setting, right? Same time, same setting, same.
Even really, like 50% of the actors are the same. So
yeah, that in and of itself as well. But it works. It works. This type of humor works in this type of setting. As Melissa said earlier, we all know someone in our lives that is a character in this movie, and it is so true. How good was it to me? I can't say it's a damn good. It's not a perfect movie. It's not an amazing movie, but it doesn't need to be. And I don't think it's pretending to be other than anything that it is, which is a damn funny movie. So that's about it. Oh, and I forgot to mention, someone mentioned the soundtrack earlier, which I can't believe we didn't talk about.
Melissa did.
Full of bangers, this fucking song. I forgot how many.
Keep your head breaking.
And what I loved about it, old school, and, well, new for the time, 90s bangers. Perfect combination. So that I got to give props to that too. Go, Scott.
I mean, this movie is a classic, obviously. We've all said, I think you guys are downplaying this movie. To me, I would say this is probably a top 10 comedy of all time. I would.
I
laughed the entire film. You know, I mean, yeah, you're not asking for a lot in plot, but man, iconic lines. I mean, we said this at the beginning, right? It's the quotable 20, 30 years later, right? And so 30 years later, everyone's just still saying these lines. To me, that elevates it above the plot. And it, the performances in the casting are amazing. You know, if people getting that kind of performance out of Zeus, out of a tiny Lester, and the rest of these guys, it's incredible. I can watch this movie tomorrow and laugh just the same as I did 2 days ago. So to me, how good was it? I think it's pretty close to a perfect film. So I'm I would definitely be in my top 10 comedies of all time. Yeah, it's just. I can laugh at this just the same tomorrow as I did yesterday. So, yeah.
Didn't see love that it. Coming, Scott.
Love it.
Awesome. Awesome.
But as far as comedy, definitely.
Yeah. I mean,
it's and it is timeless.
Absolutely.
Well, apparently so. If your daughter's reciting shit from this movie, that speaks volumes to me on the staying power. And I just, like you said, you described it perfectly, Melissa, that it's part of the pop culture. Vernacular, right? It's in the everyday. I'm sure your daughter's not the only one quoting. You said you see it on TikTok, on social media. And, you know, of course, these kids don't know where these quotes are coming from or where they originated from, but it doesn't matter. Because that's how things in pop culture work. It's the circle of life.
So, well, come around and ask us, what's your favorite quote? I guess what was your favorite quote then versus now? Forget that. Just what's your favorite quote from this movie?
It's hard. There's so much.
One of my favorite, because you have to watch it, and I may not have gotten it right, was then when Chris Tucker and Ice Cube were talking about Debo, and he's like, Smokey was saying, when Debo comes around, he tells me what to do. I listen, but then when he walked away,
I start talking again.
You see that all the time, especially when it comes to Kim. It's like, I'll be quiet, but as soon as she leaves, I'll be talking again.
Yeah. See, sorry, I totally fucked up that quote.
It don't matter.
No, that is a good one. No, I love that.
Well, what I love about that scene that Melissa just said was that you had to see it. It's in conjunction with Chris Tucker's mannerisms. It's the way he said it, man. Because it was just masterful. That's a good one, Melissa. For me, because I used to say it all the time, and I just, and you know this, man. Always. Yeah, yeah. I still say it to this day. Mm-hmm. And of course, no one knows where it's coming. They look at me like I'm a fucking weirdo, but still use it. So, I mean, that's the one that comes off the top of my head. There's so many more. I mean,
everyday vernacular. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
How Scotty about you, too Scotty? High. Oh, Scott, it's the Miss Parker. She don't know, but you know, the other one.
Fuck really, up, you say it. You say it so good.
The other know. One I really like is when John Witherspoon's trying to talk Ice Cube into joining the dog catchers. And he's like, I don't like dogs. He's like, yeah, but you're talking about how you get to choke him. Just squeeze dog neck, you know. It's a that to me is hilarious as well.
That man was a genius, man. His mannerisms, he made any line, anything that came out of his mouth, he made it 10 times funnier just because of the physicality behind whatever he was saying. He's genius. Oh man.
And you guys all gave it kind of an average review. Wow. Wow.
Well, it's a quote. I mean, quotes are good, but you know, ain't nobody winning the Academy Awards for this.
I'm just trying to uphold the highbrow standards that How Good Was It, Carrie? No, man. I think that's about it. I mean, any other last minute observations? I mean, I think we said all we could say about this movie.
Great choice, Melissa. Really good choice.
Yeah. Awesome choice. Agree. Perfect choice. And thank you for being a perfect guest. I mean, this has been a great episode. Along with a great guest to go along with it. And I guess if you ever want to guest again, open door policy, just let us know.
Absolutely. This was fun.
Awesome. Glad you had
a
good time.
And it doesn't have to be a movie about smoking weed. So.
Okay.
Listen, that opens up such parameters. I love
it.
We'll do a Jackie Chan. We'll do that next. It'll be fun.
No. Anybody got anything else to say about Friday? Oh, I'm sorry, Melissa. You were going to say something?
It was about the Jackie Chan movie.
She was going to say something about me being racist, but it's fine.
No,
all I could think of
was Rush Hour when you said Jackie Chan.
And Chris Tucker. I mean, how can you go wrong?
That's all I could think about. But I can't watch those movies again. Sorry.
Yeah, I have not watched those in a long time.
Yeah.
Friday, yes. Rush Hour, but, probably not.
Yeah. And you can't see any of the other Fridays either. They were all pretty bad.
I don't you know, I forgot that they made sequels.
Yeah, I remember watching Next Friday and just being upset that Chris Tucker wasn't in it. And I couldn't get over the fact he wasn't in it, and I was done.
Was Ice Cube in it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Ice Cube is in all of them.
He's in all of them. So
he's in all of them.
But Chris Tucker is not. So that's all I needed.
All of them, meaning there were more than two.
The Friday after.
Yeah, it's Friday after next. Yeah, because that one's like a Christmas.
It's Friday next Friday, and then Friday after next. I think there's three of them.
Yeah.
I think.
Why should it surprise me? This is Hollywood.
It's that one gets interesting though too, because it's a lot of starts for a lot of people for a lot. You know,
is
so Friday after next.
Is it Mike?
Well, Mike Epps is in the second one.
Yeah,
and yeah, he basically plays Cousin Day-Day, but. Cat Williams is this, it's his first thing. Terry Crews, like there's like a lot. Like to your point, they're not good, but like Cat Williams has some amazing lines in like all of them, like as a pimp, like his I use a lot of those things right now. Let me check my Palm Pilot. I ain't got shit to do. Like I use a lot of those corny sayings to this day, but they're like this one. They don't really hold up to like you know, peer review journals or anything like that. So, don't watch them. You'll find some quotes.
Okay. Listen, I'll take your word for it, man. I didn't even know they had sequels, but hey, you learn something new every day, I guess. But all right, then let's bring this sucker to a close. Thank you listeners for joining us here at How Good Was It? As usual, please follow, like, subscribe, do all that stuff that the call outs somewhere. There will be call outs in this episode somewhere. Please do as they say. And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, which you damn well should be by now, why don't you go ahead and rate us? Rate us. Give us 5 stars. Why not? Not going to hurt you at all. Not going to cost you a damn thing. And if anything, you'll be giving us love. I think that's about it, guys. Let's say bye. Let's get out of here. Say bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye, Felicia.
Dana, I'm waiting for yours. Goddamn.
I can't have a by Felicia. There's nothing better than that. Scott wins.
What movie would you like us to review? Drop your suggestions by hitting us up at howgoodwasitpod@gmail.com.